We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and GSPN, presented by our friends at Prize Picks. I am Ty Windisch, one of your hosts, and your only Eurostep host on this episode, as I joined Adam Taylor of the Green with Envy podcast for a great preview of Bucks Celtics, specifically this game here on Wednesday, March 20th night, which unfortunately lost a lot of intrigue, as according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, Giannis Antetokounmpo will not play tonight with a hamstring injury. He was questionable leading up into the game, so Adam and I did not have this information when we recorded. We talked about Giannis, as well as Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, and Sam Hauser were all questionable. No word yet as of this recording time on if those three players will play or not, but we are hearing Giannis will not play. This is obviously disappointing on multiple levels and frankly frustrating given, you know, we just, Doc Rivers lastly spoke about this Giannis injury report situation, said it's not an injury. We were just a little concerned. He said Giannis will play against Phoenix. He did not play against Phoenix, kind of a late scratch there. There's all sorts of differentiating opinions from Bucks watchers on if this is just rest or if this is an injury. And I certainly think something pretty significant is bothering Giannis for him to miss this game where the rest of the starters, the rest of the key players are all expected to play for Milwaukee. And this is obviously one of the few chances left. The season is rapidly ticking away, less than 1 month until playoffs. This is one of the few chances left to truly measure up against a great team like the Boston Celtics. As much as I'm disturbed saying that, there's no debating that this is a great Celtics team. This is a great measuring stick opportunity. And now the Bucks will have to go into it without Giannis. So we've seen Damian Lillard play great without Giannis, specifically in the Suns game, the last game the Bucks played. Chris Middleton looked good in that game. I mean, maybe Milwaukee can still compete, but it certainly does take just a lot of the edge and a lot of the excitement off. Hopefully, again, we'll see what Boston's injury situation ends up being. But what could have been a pretty healthy matchup between the top two seeds in the East right now and I think the two teams people expect to be the most likely to come out of the Eastern Conference. So disappointing, but still great content here with myself and Adam. Please make sure to check out the Green with Envy podcast. If you want to watch the video version of this, it is on their YouTube channel. And of course, you can find them wherever you find the Eurostep. They're our friends with Blue Wire. So wherever you listen to Blue Wire podcasts, you can find the Eurostep and Green with Envy. Without further ado, here is the episode.
The Boston Celtics face the Milwaukee Bucks for a retribution game. I'm joined by Ty Windisch to cover everything you need to know heading into the game on the Green with Envy podcast. Ty, did I get your name right? Did I say the same?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I hit play and then I was like, oh man, I hope I got his name right. So for everyone watching, Ty hosts the Gyrostep podcast, which is one, an excellently named podcast, and two, probably the biggest Milwaukee Bucks podcast out there, right? So you guys are crushing it over there. We've got this big matchup coming up, and we reached out. Obviously, you're kind of like leading the whole Blue Wire kind of push. We're kind of affiliated there. So it just made sense to reach out. We've done a podcast before. This is a big game. So last time these two teams faced off, the Bucks just kind of came out. I feel like to them, they were trying to not just make a statement against Boston, but make a statement like, yo, we can still be a threat because their season's been so tumultuous, would probably be the best way of saying it, right?
Yeah, that's a good word. That may be a generous word.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it. I like being generous because then no one can come for me if it doesn't work out in Boston later today, right? So how are you feeling? Like, the game's a few hours away. Injury report, Jaylen Brown questionable, Sam Hauser questionable, Drew questionable, Giannis questionable. How are you feeling just a few hours away coming into the day with the game but later today?
I feel I'm pretty good, but I certainly hope Giannis is able to play. I think, obviously, against any team, you want to see Giannis play any matchup. But I think certainly against Boston, as good as Damian Lillard has looked in some of the non-Giannis games, it's more of his comfort zone in terms of being able to truly run the offense. And I think just having more space around the rim. I think Giannis's presence and the defense he draws has made it harder for Dame to finish at the rim at times. But that's all fine and well against, you know, the Sixers without Joel Embiid. That's not as fine and well against the Boston Celtics, assuming, you know, hopefully all the core players play. I know we were chatting before, Hauser is dealing with probably the most real injury out of anyone on here with that pretty nasty ankle sprain, so we'll see about him. But certainly would prefer if we get a very healthy matchup between these two teams. Could be the last real game against them till playoffs. There's one in, you know, kind of pretty close to the playoffs, April, which we'll see how serious that game ends up being. But I'm feeling pretty good if everyone's able to go. Honestly, I think one of the funny things of this Bucks season is it's been so tumultuous and there's been so many highs and lows. But overall, they've played the very good teams in the league pretty well. And I do think one of the Bucks' biggest issues, and it's very annoying to me as someone who does watch all the games, is their level of get up is just vastly different for the Celtics versus, you know, name the Grizzlies right before All-Star or some of these other teams that aren't as good. So I think we will get a good game. I think I'm sure it will be more competitive than the last time. I think it'll be telling for both of these teams just how it goes. But I do think we'll get a good game. I think Milwaukee will be here and be ready for this one.
So one of the biggest changes you've had this year has been Doc, right? So Doc comes in midway through the season. Adrian Griffin is doing what to the outsiders appears to be a decent enough job. First year as a head coach, championship expectations on your shoulder, you've got a superstar. It's not an easy situation to kind of cut your teeth. And Celtics fans went through this with Joe last year, with Joe Mazzulla. That's not working. Obviously, there's been a bunch of discourse about whether there was buy-in from the team to his methods, whether he was articulating what he wanted as best as he probably could if he needed to work on that. So you bring in Doc. How has everything looked since then, specifically from that defense standpoint? Because, as you said, tumultuous is probably a kind word, and there has been this level of get-up against the better teams in the league. But you, as Giannis has kind of mentioned a few times, you need that identity because that's what's going to carry you through when that get-up isn't there against some of, lack of a better term, like the lower-level teams in the East.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a nice fortuitous, I guess, coincidence that the NBA is letting teams play defense again, because I think Milwaukee has really leaned into a physical defense. I think you look at some of their best games in the Doc era, the Nuggets win, the Timberwolves win. They're really physical around screens. They're really physical around the rim. They're just always trying to stay connected. I think their biggest issue defensively at this point is still they'll be one rotation short, which again, it's like, you know, just work a little harder, guys, maybe. Let's not just leave someone wide open. But their defense is more tenacious now than it's been, I think, since Mike Budenholzer left, basically. I mean, they rotate more, they move more on defense than I say they would under Bud. They use more zone occasionally, especially like if the base just isn't working. But they're really physical around screens. They're really trying to make sure that teams have to rely on the mid-range shots, which I think is especially interesting in this matchup, because I do think one of the reasons the Bucks defense has worked okay against Boston is almost like the appeared ineptitude, like the Celtics, like the Jays especially. And really, I think them the most are, it's like, okay, Malik Beasley's in front of me. I have this 18-footer. I'll just take it. And honestly, part of the Bucks are just like, sure. Like that's probably our best chance to win with all this talent is if you guys just try an ISO, you know, Malik Beasley or Chris Middleton or whoever else a bunch of times, Jay Crowder. And hopefully then Giannis can go crazy and Dame can, you know, make threes and everything on the other end. So that's, I'd say, been their defensive philosophy. It's less about the super aggressive trapping, although they're still trapped with Bobby Portis, mainly because I just don't know if they know what else they can do with him. But it's not as aggressive. Brook is certainly closer to the rim whenever he can be. That's office difficult in this matchup with the stretchy bigs for Boston. But they have looked better on defense. There's been highs and lows. They were really bad on their West Coast trip, but they've had some very strong games as well.
Yeah, you need energy to play defense, especially at a championship level. So what you say about the mid-range, that makes sense. I was pulling some numbers earlier today. Around the rim, this is shot frequency. So where you're funneling guys to, right, where you're allowing things to happen. You're allowing 30.7% of shots to come around the rim. That puts you eighth in the NBA. You're towards the bottom, so you're allowing a ton of shots in the mid-range. Like you said, 34.4%. 23.3% of those are coming from long mid. So, you know, guys attacking closeouts, playing off the elbows. 11.1% in that short mid. I like to call that like the floater region. Then three-point range, you're allowing 35% of offense to come from three, which is ninth in the NBA. You're really limiting corner threes. Like you're really kind of like getting out there, contesting, closing down those passing lanes. Only 7.8% of offense is coming from the corner, and then 27.2% from non-corner. You just let them fly a little bit because we know we've got the length to impact that shot release, right?
Yeah, and Patrick Beverley in particular on his podcast where he has shared so many insights that I just never expected I'd be tuning into Pat Bev's podcast here about Bucks defensive philosophies. But he has talked about him and Doc and I think Rex Kalamian, who's one of the architects of the defense on the team right now, the new staff, like the out of bounds is a defender. So I think that goes into not allowing those corners. The Bucks will let you sort of get by from the corner, but then they'll use that out of bounds as a weapon and kind of try and push you into it on the drive. And then, of course, you know, the thing about the Bucks is, and I think they really have been playing into this since Doc got and was able to instill this stuff, you really just need to buy a beat for a driver, and then Giannis or Brook is probably going to be there and be able to alter the shot. And I think there's this whole discourse around Lopez on Bucks Twitter and if he's washed or whatever. He's still a monster around the rim, and if he's allowed to remain around the rim or be around the rim, he's still a huge presence there. And I think the Bucks have relied on that more. I mean, the shots at rim number is funny because I remember early in the season they were like bottom five in how many shots they allowed around the rim with Brook and Giannis on the roster. That just shouldn't happen. So I think that kind of feeds into, you know, why Adrian Griffin was moved on from.
And that makes sense. The one question, the kind of one pushback I've got for you, and I'm really keen to hear about how you kind of envision this working out, was you mentioned obviously they are, as a team, Milwaukee are funneling everybody into that mid-range area. That makes sense. But with the Celtics, Jaylen Brown has added that mid-range game as a counter. Jason Tatum has added it as like that post game that he's going to. He can, if you push upon him, he can make reads out of that. How likely are Milwaukee overreacting when there's like high gravity talent in that mid-range area? Do they stick to their principles and try and stay at the rim and stay on the perimeter and just kind of like, hey, if you want to drive at us, we're going to deal with you, but if you want to shoot in this space, we're okay with that? Or because it's high gravity talent, is there some overreactions? Because that tends to be how the Celtics start finding spray threes and they can start generating offense out of that way.
Yeah, I think that's always one of the big questions against this team and really against any team with this kind of wing and perimeter talent. It reminds me of the 2019 Raptors series as well. I think Milwaukee has to be disciplined and just live with getting beat sometimes. I do think that this Boston team, you know, if it was the Jays and then, you know, no offense to anyone, like Pritchard and Hauser are starting out there with them, right? Like, then double all the time, right? Send help. Don't let those guys beat you. But with it being Derek White and Porzingis and Horford and Holiday, I think you kind of just have to try and knock it totally filleted one-on-one, but keep the integrity of the defense. I mean, I remember watching – again, that Raptors series where the Bucks would do okay against containing Kawhi, And then they send the help, and then, oh, Fred VanVleet has 500 points this series because he's just taking a bunch of catch and shoot threes. So I think they've got to just live with it. I think, of course, you can't just let guys get to the rim. And if there's that big of an issue, I think either subbing whoever's getting beat that badly off or finding a way to get that help over to the rim. But I do think, you know, I would be surprised if they straight up double a lot just because there's so much talent on the team versus, you know, they just played the Suns. And Grayson Allen got a lot of shots because clearly the Bucks throughout, especially the first half, they just said, won't be KD, won't be Beal, won't be Booker. Like, we're going to make these other guys do something. And credit to the Suns. I mean, Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen played well in that game. But I don't know if you can do that against Boston. So I'd be surprised if they did it as much against the Celtics.
High gravity kind of defense is something that always interests me just because with the one or two gravity guys, like you say, you can – kind of force everybody else to beat you. Five gravity guys on the same like rotate. It's like, where do you even send help without
that,
right? The last thing I want to touch on defense, and we can keep this quite quick. Again, not to be disrespectful to anybody, but Dame is clearly that like weak link defensively for you guys, or at least that's the narrative that surrounds him. How's Doc been at hiding him, or how is like surviving within that perimeter-based defense where you are trying to funnel guys into that mid-range?
He's actually played better than I expected, and I would say that about him and Beasley. I mean, obviously, they're nowhere close to the player that, you know, they kind of quasi-replaced in Drew Holiday, and they asked Beasley to do more. I think maybe not even as much. It's not about their defensive skill sets as much as it is, you know, about obviously you want Dame to carry more load offensively than Beasley does. I think Beasley is good at just not elite, but he'll stick with the guy and just kind of make him hit a tougher shot. Dame relies more on his hands. When teams are, or players are driving him, he really gets active hands. And he has had some games where, you know, he'll force multiple turnovers by just getting that swipe, timing it correctly, doing a little more on that end than he probably could in Portland because, like I mentioned earlier, he's not required to be, you know, 35 and 8 guy every night in Milwaukee. His gravity itself has been a huge boon for Giannis, who's, of course, going crazy with the efficiency around the rim this year. So he's done okay. I think certainly this is going to be one of the bigger challenges because it's just a big, skilled team. And again, I think this is one where a lot of the game between these two teams ultimately, I think, comes down to how disciplined is Boston in, you know, good shot versus great shot. And I do think, like, if it's Jaylen, let's say Jaylen Brown, ISOing Dame and pulling up from two, I think if you're the Bucks, you're like, sure, like, fine. Like, if it's that versus, like, a Porzingis pick and pop where Brooke Lopez is stretched out beyond comprehension and there's a cutting, open cutter opportunity at the rim and all these things, like, I almost think that's the – it's almost a benefit of not having the great established defenders as teams can settle more. So he's done okay. Both guys have done okay. I think adding Patrick Beverley and Jay Crowder to the rotation, which neither of whom have played against Boston, will probably be important to limit the amount of time you have both of those not elite, we'll say, generously again, defenders and Dame and Bees on the court together at least. Shout out to our friends at Prize Picks, the presenting sponsor of the Eurostep and all GSPN Bucks podcasts and America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action and watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Whether it's the tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your latest hoops knowledge into serious cash. Knowing that Giannis will not play, or reportedly will not play, against the Celtics tonight, I think it's safe to say I will be looking at the more than on points for players like Damian Lillard, and you could look at assists there as well. Dame will have the ball a bunch, plus Bobby Portis. Can he follow up his incredible 31-point outburst against Phoenix with more touches? Plus, Caitlin Clark is going to be in action this weekend. I believe there is a very discounted projection for Caitlin Clark that is worth investigating as well. So for all these plays and many more, Download the app today and use code Eurostep for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app and code Eurostep for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And that kind of leads us into the offense, right? And we're going to stick with this Dame discussion because you've mentioned just how his gravity has kind of been a boon for Giannis. So he's playing a bit better than expected on defense. That usually translates to a little bit better than expected on offense because you play well on defense, the confidence flows, you're in a rhythm, and you come into the offense. Coming into the season, you move for Dame, keep Giannis happy, he gets that extra start. And the narrative or the expectations is, now you have this elite two-man game that's going to be damn near unguardable and is going to be one of the most fearsome like partnerships in the entire NBA and in the Eastern Conference. This season, Dame has assisted Giannis 132 times, generating 267 points. Giannis has assisted Dame 59 times, generating 159 points. So there's clearly a growing connection there. But as we said off-air, I was really intrigued by what Sham said on Run It Back the other day, where it was like, with Giannis out, and you alluded to this at the very start of the show, with Giannis out, we're seeing the best version of Dame because he's allowed to be the best version of Dame. Is there a world at the moment where you can see there becoming, not friction, but just an inability for the both of these two guys to thrive because they need to be such featured members of the offense? Or are they figuring things out?
Yeah, I think that world was earlier this season. I think they're closer now. The issue, I think, is just neither of them have had a player this high usage. I mean, Dame had CJ McCollum, who, I mean, just in terms of obviously like floor gravity, is the exact opposite of Giannis and just couldn't be a more in terms of everything about them, there couldn't be more dissimilar players from, you know, size to what they do on the court and everything else. And then, of course, way back when had LaMarcus Aldridge, but more of a, I'd say, typical big comparatively to Giannis. And of course, Giannis, while he's had Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, around, those are not guys who have, you know, there's never been a conversation really before of like, this guy needs the ball way more. There's been a little bit like of, you know, kind of having Giannis be the roller with Chris that I think they leaned into more in the championship run and have here or there since then. I think a lot of people just have difficulty with the concept that there can be two great players who both should be able to lead at times, even when they're out there together. I just see so often, and really I think it's among Bucks fans more than anyone, either the idea that Dame is Dame, Dame is the guy, he's the point guard, Giannis should just set screens and roll, which it's like, okay, I mean, he's, you know, two-time MVP, won a finals, handling the ball quite a bit. I don't think you should make him DeAndre Jordan just because they got a really good player. And then the other side of like, you know, Dame is washed, he should just spot up. Or I've seen people say they use him like Klay Thompson, which is not remotely true. I think it's been more of an adjustment than I certainly expected. And I think for Dame, the difficulty has been they still trap him on screens, which honestly I was stunned. Like, this was preseason, this started. It's never really gone away, even though his level of play has not really been there. And I think honestly, like, it's worked for Giannis. I mean, he's on pace to have the 30-point and 60% from the field season, which has never been done. I do think like their partnership is why. I mean, Giannis gets a little better every year and all that, but I mean, Dame, like, having two up there means it's Giannis and four on threes regularly. And that obviously is very beneficial for him, a guy who's used to going one on three. But I think it's, you know, Giannis and that gravity he still has, even if you do trap up high, has made it hard for Dame to finish around the rim. And he's, you know, just not getting some calls he's looking for. So I really think that's the piece. I mean, I noticed, you know, again, the Suns game, Dame was opened up his game by finishing at the rim quite a few times and then was able to hit the threes, which I think is pretty standard for players. I think if you can make it the rim, it opens up your three ball more. And I just think he hasn't been able to get going at the rim as much. So I think the Bucks need to probably try and scheme up some more actions, especially when it's just him, but certainly when Giannis is out there, that maybe open up a little more space for him, maybe like some more DHOs versus the straight up pick and roll, and just try and get him going a bit more, because clearly the skills are still there with Dame. But I think that's the big thing, is just trying to figure out how to get each of them rolling at once. We haven't really seen it yet, which is concerning with 20 games or 16 games or whatever is left. But also, if they can get in a rhythm by playoffs, that's really the goal here. And I think they're getting closer than they've been so far, I'll say.
Take it from a Celtics fan where we've had years of we've never seen Jason and Jaylen playing well at the same time. And yeah. This year is the first year where that's become a consistent factor, where they both have good games all the time at the same time. Sometimes that might not happen in a season, and that sucks when the whole reason you bring in a superstar like Dame is because you're trying to go for it now and you want that immediate boost. Has that been a discussion within like the Milwaukee fan base? Like, hey, it may take this year just to kind of figure shit out and then get back to it next season where everything's kind of the blueprint's there, everybody's a bit more comfortable, and we know where we're going with a year of Doc. Has that been a discussion point?
I think, you know, with the ages, especially of Dame, it's still, you want every year really badly. Yeah. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, and Chris Middleton's health, you know, he just got back and looked great against Phoenix, but, you know, you just want to, and Brooke's still playing at a pretty high level, I would say, and being healthy. I don't think you can punt the year. I mean, I think still the expectation should be to go win. I mean, we've talked about, you know, expectations, and I've said, like, anything but a hard-fought series loss to Boston is probably a failure. I mean, if you lose in the finals, it's a great series. That's probably the same. But, like, I think if you lose to any other team in the East, or, you know, if Boston routes you in the playoffs, I think that's still a failure, even knowing it's year one of this thing and they're figuring so much out. And I think still they've been able to win quite a bit. And it's like, I think they're still undefeated if Dame shoots 50% from the field. Like, they've still been just a crazy team. He's just good, not even elite, because Giannis is Giannis, and you know they're able to cover enough defensively. So I think the idea should be, all right, we're patching it together on the fly, but we have so much talent that we can just, like, you know, they synergize at 80% and we can still beat anyone. And then hopefully next year, more optimized roster and everything else. But I think I'm just conditioned as a Bucks fan. It's been so long now of just like, it's about this year. You know, you can't plan for next year. It's about this year. And, you know, you've got to be as ready as possible by the end of the season.
The one thing I want to ask about before we move on, just because I was quite shocked by it, was you said really it's only the Celtics that you could accept a defeat to if it was a hard-fought series.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
In the East.
And I'm sticking with the East here.
Okay.
Are you sure you don't want to add the Knicks into there if they can get healthy?
Not really. The thing about the Knicks, they're a very good team, but I think the Bucks have two guys who are clearly, I mean, Jalen Brunson's having a great year, but I think, and the thing about them that I'm noticing, I don't know if Tibbs really trusts like the new guys they got. So that to me kind of a little bit undoes the, oh, Magic deadline. They're super deep and you're watching. It's like Josh Hart plays 49 minutes in the game and Bojan Bogdanovic plays like 20, and it's like, okay, so is he going to play in the playoffs? Do they trust him at all? Like, is it a ramp up? I don't know. I like their team a lot, but the health is just such a factor.
Yeah, sure.
And I think Milwaukee should be able to beat them. I mean, you'd have to see the series, but I just think when you look at having Giannis, I think anyone outside of this juggernaut that Boston has assembled in this conference, the talent just is not there, especially with Philly, you know, basically also breaking down. Even if they were healthy, frankly, I'd probably feel the same. It's more of just the high expectations for the Bucks and given the talent that they have and how leveraged they are than anything else.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I just wanted to ask because I've been quite high on the Knicks since then.
Yeah.
And I know his elbow's flared up again. He's already missed, 18, 19 games, a stretch of 18, then one. then come back for free, then missed one. So the Knicks, as a Celtics fan, like, it's been a discussion on this show just because it's like, well, shit, it's another team you need to deal with in the postseason, right?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
But let's just move on, because I want to keep this to around about that 30-minute mark. It's still early in the day. You need more coffee. I need more coffee. I wanted, as I said to before we hit record, I wanted to kind of pass this over to you now. And any questions that you wanted to ask Celtics-wise, any, like, how can I put it, oversight or insight that coming into this game, you can just fire away. And I feel like that would be a really good way to kind of wrap this up and complete it.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest one I think about is, and I want your perspective on, is you look at this team and I think people identify what, like, the limited deep depth, which again, obviously six is incredibly deep. And I don't even, like, their 7, 8, 9 is fine. I don't think it's glaringly bad or anything. And then I guess the over-reliance on shooting, which I think is probably an overblown talking point. But when you look at the Celtics team, what do you look at and see, like, that could be an issue for them? Or is there not one? Is it such a well-built team that doesn't really exist? Because I guess, like, to put it simply, like, what is the weakness of this Boston team that has been, you know, historically dominant this season? So it's kind of a funny question to ask. But I don't think it would be interesting to hear, like, what are they great at? It would be such a long list at this point.
Yeah, so I've actually managed to pull Synergy up expecting a question like this. So, perception-wise, and I don't know whether this is just as a Celtics fan being conditioned to be concerned about this, as it's been an issue over previous years, is transition defense. Just, are the Celtics fast enough, strong enough, good enough at getting back and dealing with teams in transition, especially against somebody like Giannis that's just a freight train, where if you're not back and you're not, as they always say, building that wall and building out to the ball on Giannis to get your pickup point above the three-point line, how are you going to deal there? Now, they're classed as an excellent, Synergy has them as an excellent transition defensive team. Holding teams to around about 47% field goal percentage. Now, that's obviously, you're factoring in teams that don't play a lot of transition. You're factoring in teams that don't really have big, powerful, explosive forwards that are going to run the floor at pace. You're not factoring in the Giannis's of the world, right? So, if we're keeping it just to a Boston versus Milwaukee as a series or as a single game entity, transition defense does stand out to me as an issue, just because you're going to have to really, you're not going to want to leak out. You're not going to want to crash the board. You need to get back. You need to adjust those pickup points. So that's probably my biggest concern. Shot-wise, I think the Celtics have been great over the last probably 40 games, maybe 30. They've really moved away from over-reliance on the three-point shot. Their rim attempts have gone up. Their post creation has gone up. And they just look like a very fluid team offensively across all three levels. Their actions run smoothly. Clutch time is the other one that I will say is a big concern and a big talking point amongst the fan base right now. Just, they continually go to Jason Tatum for the final shot, even if they have to force it. The play, I wouldn't say play creation, but like creativity of play calling in the final few minutes is lacking, quite frankly, from the coaching staff. If it's a close game, you can pretty much, like, everyone in the building knows it's going to Tatum, and it doesn't seem to be much variance. So in terms of Milwaukee, it's transition defense. In terms of just an overall concern, it's that clutch execution and clutch late game play calling.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a similar thing to the, like, should it be Giannis, should it be Dame for late game Bucks and this conversation that's gone on. And it's funny, I know Steph wrote a great article recently where it's like, actually, Giannis has been, it's been Giannis time late in games. Like, his clutch shooting has been much better than Dame's, although Dame has a couple game winners. But my reaction has also been, it should be both. Like, run an action with them. Whoever has the better look should shoot. Like, I think that is, I think for Boston, a similar thing. Like, you could do it, could be all five guys, right? Like, whoever comes out of it. But it is funny, though, that I think a lot of teams kind of struggle with this idea of, like, you know, should it just go to our guy, or should we run an action, or do we want to look like we're minimizing our guy and all these things? But that's a good one. I think outside of that, I'm curious about the big room, because I remember when they got Tillman, my first thing was like, wow, I really like Cornette. I'm kind of surprised that they went and got – and Kata, every time I see him play, I'm like, hey, he's pretty good too. He's, I saw him play the Herd in person. You're like, wow, I always thought he was more of a forward. That guy is huge. What do you think the, I guess, reasoning for Tillman is? And do you expect him to be a factor, you know, versus Milwaukee or just broader in playoffs? Because to me, it's like, oh, finally, a Celtics big is coming in who doesn't shoot the lights out. Like, if I'm Doc Rivers and I see him check in, I'm probably going to try and alter the sub and have Brook out there as well. Because anytime you can find a matchup like that where you're not really worried about that player so much, you can get Brook Lopez some more time around the rim, that feels advantageous for Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I think that this is where Boston were kind of looking at things, right, where there's going to be games where Luke Kornet limits the opposing advantage, where his size, his movement, his rim protection is what's needed. But there's also games where Luke really struggles against physical bigs, your Andre Drummonds, your Jokic's, and so forth. Porzingis really struggles against those physical style bigs. And that's where last season and for the last few years, you inject Grant Williams into that rotation at that point. Just give you somebody a little bit more undersized, stout, that can play physical and get underneath their hips to
make smart, honestly.
Smart. And you've seen Drew kind of play that role this year. And I'm sure you've seen it when he was in Milwaukee, where he's kind of that guard cross-matching on a big. But Tillman just brings that physicality. He's obviously a very strong guy. He can guard on the perimeter. He can switch. So it, to me, it's very much situational and matchup-based, and it's just going to be who makes the most sense versus this matchup based on what the player brings to the floor and also what the limitations are of the other bigs around him. And obviously, you can remove Crater from that conversation just because he's a two-way guy.
Yeah.
You're not going to see him. A lot of Celtics fans want him added the Celtics open roster spot. To me, that makes no sense. You don't.
You already got two guys jostling for the bench big spot and two main centers. Yeah.
Why add another one? You know what I mean? And then you've got guys that can play up. You can see Tatum play some five sporadically. Everyone can play down a little bit. So to me, yeah, it's more just situational matchups. And Tillman's had a lot of DNP CDs, and then he's had games where he's basically took Luke out of the rotation, and it's just based on what the matchup calls for.
And I guess last one I've got for you here, at least for now, maybe we'll have a whole other set of questions after the game.
Yeah.
How do you view Tillman as a factor in this, and how do you think they approach Giannis? Because I think Giannis has had a lot of success historically against Porzingis. And as you mentioned, I think that's not an ideal. And you also don't want to, you know, invoke foul trouble for him. It does feel like you know, there's so many good perimeter players. I think Porzingis is almost uniquely important, and being the stretch five that opens everything up for everyone else, I think it's probably been a little almost under-discussed how crucial that role is for them lately. How do you view Boston trying to guard Giannis? They've used Drew quite a bit. It's worked okay. He's obviously can guard pretty much anyone, but if Giannis is able to get to the post on him, he, of course, is going to be able to, you know, have a pretty unimpeded shot over him. Do you think Tillman gets some more run there? And again, kind of that hurts your spacing, but is it worth it to have another physical, you know, true big size defender to throw at Giannis?
Yeah, I think that Luke would struggle in this type of matchup too, yeah, just because of that physicality. So this to me says it's a Tillman game. And the one thing that I've kind of liked about Tillman and Luke is they're going to hurt your spacing in terms of shooting ability and floor gravity, but they kind of give you spacing in DHO actions. They're really willing screeners, can screen and roll enough for some short roll spacing that way. It does make sense to me that when the game starts, obviously Tillman's not going to be in the starting five, you cross match onto Giannis. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jaylen Brown kind of want to at least test himself on that. Giannis is going to run through him in transition. He's going to, like, you know, I'm not going to just sit here and be like, Jaylen Brown's super strong. He is super strong, but it's freaking Giannis.
He is levels, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think that Brown is one of the more physically strong members of that starting five. He's also having a really good defensive season. He's going to want to take that matchup on at least for a short period of time just to see how that goes. Joe Mazzulla has been very good at kind of iterating through cross matches just until he finds anything that works against the star, and it's always very much a contain him rather than subdue. You contain him and then you kind of let everybody else go off, or they're just going to kind of make Giannis a primary factor and shut everybody else down.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's been the most logical way to kind of deal with a Giannis matchup is, like, we'll focus on Dame, we'll focus on the role players. Giannis can go get 50. As long as everybody else is having a bad night, we're going to be fine anyway. So that'll probably be what they do, which is why I wouldn't be shocked to see cross matches with Drew or with Jaylen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just, again, the Drew of it all is going to be, I'm sure there's going to be times where the Bucks try and stash Lopez on him or Giannis as the roamer on him. And just if he hits the shots there, or if they, certainly if they drag him into actions, that kind of takes that away. But just if he hits the shots in those situations will be big. I know his 3-point percentage has been excellent overall this season, and he's really hit some great ones from the corner in recent games. But I can't wait. I'm excited for the game. I really think it's more interesting to see how they approach each other than maybe some people give it credit. I don't know. Do you think there's a perception that Boston is just clearly better?
I think it's a lot depends on paper, right? If you're just looking at the stat sheet and the team sheet, I think there's a perception where the Celtics are a complete level above. I tend to view it as if you've got two very high level, like borderline elite stars, which you guys have two elite stars and not even borderline, you cannot be counted out, right? You've also got Chris Middleton's a really big swing factor here. If you check out the Green with Envy page, the YouTube page, or the podcast, there's an episode on there why you shouldn't feel Chris Middleton anymore. There's a chance he could really prove us wrong for having that conversation, but there's also a chance where it does feel like he's lost a step and his burst isn't as elite as it once was. He doesn't get the same lift on his shots, which is kind of making it harder for him to shoot over bigger guys. So where are you on Chris Middleton? Do you still feel like he is this third star, or has he genuinely lost that little bit of a step and now he's gone from being elite, very good slash elite, to good bordering on very good?
I think he honestly has looked as good as he's been in the last like 3 years this season when he's been healthy. He's, I think, still leading the NBA in mid-range field goal percentage and shooting. I think he's above 40% from three now, or close to it. He was 2-for-4 in his return game. I noticed he had played very poorly in the first two Bucks-Celtics games this season, so I can see where the perception came from. But overall, I think, again, it's probably, you know, he may be at a point now where he is declining, although for him, physically, it's been such a tough road that he may actually physically be in a better spot than he's been at many points in the last 2 years. But the gravity of Dame and Giannis stuff going on, I think, has been great for him. And I think he is a weak side play initiator or play finisher, is really profiting off that, right? Like, his life has never been this easy offensively. He has been a premier, if not the premier perimeter threat. He and Drew kind of co-held that role. And now it's like, okay, the best defenders on Dame, the best wing defender or big defenders on Giannis. Everyone's worried about that action. Teams are sending help. oh, now Chris gets a true one-on-one or just open shots, and his chemistry with Giannis is still elite, kind of knowing when to pop over if Giannis is getting doubled in the post and Giannis knows exactly where to get in the ball. So I think he's set up to have a huge game and be big. I know it's tough just because there's so many great perimeter defenders on the Celtics, but him taking advantage of the attention given to other players should set him up to play well. I think he is going to be a big swing piece in this game tonight as well, though. If Chris has a very efficient shooting night, that just makes it so much harder, of course, to then guard Giannis and Dame respectively.
Yeah, that to me makes it the biggest swing factor coming into the game from a Milwaukee standpoint. Like, if Middleton has a bad game, I feel very comfortable about the Celtics' chances of winning. If he has a good game, that becomes now a much more level playing field just because of the Giannis factor. Brook is a very respectable floor spacer as well, and he's also an elite rim protector. So I don't think there's a huge chasm between the two. Obviously, I'm a bit biased. I do come into the game feeling like the Celtics are the better team, but I'm not sitting here being like there's a huge gap where we should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But before we go, man, I just wanted to say thank you for jumping on with us. These previews are always fun. I like the fact that neither of us are trying to bullshit our way through and be like, no, this team's better. I like that. Do you want to let everyone know where they can find you? Some people may just want to keep up with Milwaukee.
Yeah, if you want the opposition intel, gspn.info is where you can find all of our podcasts, Twitter links, and all that stuff. I am Ty Windisch, so just at Ty Windisch, T-I-W-I-N-D-I-S-C-H on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, we'll certainly be – actually, you know what? You know what's funny? I double-booked myself. It's the last home Wisconsin Herd game tonight. So I'm going to be taking in – some great Wisconsin Herd basketball and not fully locked in for the first half. I think they're 12th in the East. This is true dedication to the craft of G League basketball that I kind of regret, but it's okay. And then I'll be locked in for the second half. But yeah, we'll be all over this game. I think we'll be doing a post-game show. I'm sure you guys will as well. And yeah, we want to encourage anyone who's listening, you know, from our side, the Bucks side, to stay subscribed or check out Green with Envy here, because you guys do tremendous work covering Boston. And agree, I like that it's not just, well, what are your Bucks going to do before they get killed in this game? It's more enjoyable to actually talk about the basketball.
Yeah, the chess battle is what really drives me anyway. So I'm really happy to when we get a chance to talk like this. And if any Milwaukee fans want to check out the Boston kind of take after the game, then feel free to head over to YouTube at Green with Envy, or to obviously quick subscribe onto the podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.